All right, if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6. And we've only got one verse on the outline. I want you to look back a few verses, though, and look at verse 27. Because everything else that's going to that follow down through verse 36 is tied to this. That's the premise. He says, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them to which despitefully use you." And then he goes into different applications of that. And so he mentioned, and we looked at this last time, that the world, to some extent, operates. I was reading about this past week in another setting. We deal with a lot of things that are based on promises. Now, contracts. And we have lots of contracts that we often don't, in the forefront of our minds, realize are contracts. For example, I actually had to turn on the heat today in here for the first time this morning. Some of you are saying, it's still cold in here. There's a contract that involves that. There's a contract as far as the use of this building is concerned. We deal with contracts as far as utilities, as far as the ownership of our homes, the payments we may be making for house payment, all kinds of things that we deal with that are based ultimately on a promise made. But the promises that we deal with in the business world are with the expectation, yes, there's a deal here, and there are consequences if you fail to fulfill your end of the deal. And it gets down to the idea of ultimately, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We made a deal. I'll provide this if you pay me this. Or if you provide this service, then I'll provide this service. And we do all kinds of things like that in the business world. We do that in personal things. And one of the reasons why, marriages are struggling so much over the last two generations, really, is the expectation that I'll do this if you do this. And that there are strings attached when it comes to our relationships, whether we're dealing with marriage or work or business or neighbors or family, whatever the case may be. We always have these strings attached. And the reality is, as far as relationships are concerned by God, there ought not to be. There ought not to be. Yes, I understand we deal with the reality of business and so on, and yes, I don't want my power turned off and so on. I will pay the bills and I will take care of those things. But as far as our dealings with to some extent with entities, because our testimony is at stake on some of those things. But the idea of loving our enemies, let's look at verse 35. How God's children are to operate. He says in verse 35, "But if you love your enemies and do good," we're to do good to love them. And, of course, that's the word agape, that we love without the demand of a return. That we give and we give, and if nothing comes back our way, we don't just shrug our shoulders and look elsewhere. We continue to give. We continue to love. We continue to pray. We continue to, what's the next one? To do good. That is, in the original language, just about as generic as it is in English. The idea of goodness, kindness, to be nice. To be nice. I'll give you a very practical thing. If you go to a restaurant, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm sure most of you, maybe all of you have, that if you go to a family-owned diner, almost anywhere in the region. There are a few exceptions, but very, very few. They're open for breakfast and lunch, not open for supper. That's a new thing because they can't get, there's not enough help available. We have a shortage of service people. And I know a lot of folks have barked, especially during COVID when supplies were short and you couldn't get this. And I'm sorry, we don't have this on the menu. And somebody get upset and angry. And then they're sitting there drumming their fingers. Come on, what's the matter here, boy? It's taking forever. Well, they're short-handed. Be nice. Be kind. And that that's just an example there. We need to be kind. And don't bark at a waitress and then leave a tract. Don't do that. Earn the right to be heard. Be kind. Be nice. And if you're going to leave a tract, make sure you leave a decent tip too. Well, that's more valuable than a tip. Yes, but if you want them to read it, leave a tip. Be nice. This is in our dealings with other people. We sometimes have a Jekyll and Hyde mentality when we get behind the wheel of the car. Oh, I can't believe it. Look at that idiot over there. I call him, what'd he do that? Ah! We need to be consistent. Live the part. This is one of the reasons why I almost cringe when I see Christian bumper stickers, because, you know, that idiot that did this, once in a while, we're the idiot. And I don't want to drag the name of Christ through the mud by doing something stupid, foolish, or obnoxious, and then have somebody look, oh, he's one of them. And so we need to make sure that we live the part. We need to be nice. We need to be kind. We need to be considerate. It ought to be a distinguishing characteristic of Christians. We ought not to be... One of the things I pray for this on a daily basis, that God's people would not be reckless and obnoxious. The gospel is offensive enough as it is. The world does not like the gospel. It's humiliating. They don't like this, being told that they're wicked and sinners, and people frowning on their lifestyle and the things they say and they do. And that's offensive enough as it is. Let's not make sure that we add offense by our own behavior and our own words. We are ambassadors for Christ. Let's make sure that we live the part and reflect our master. He says, lend, hoping for nothing again. Now remember, Jesus is addressing a Jewish audience. There were certain rules as far as these things were concerned in the Mosaic Law. Number one, you didn't charge interest. And you gave with the expectation that something would come back. There were rules as far as giving to the poor. And if somebody found themselves in debt, that they couldn't extricate themselves from, again, under the Mosaic Law, they had, originally, they had a piece of property that they had inherited. And it was theirs for life. But they could sell it to get themselves out of debt. Now, of course, that removes their ability to be able to farm that piece of property. But it would not be theirs until the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, all the property reverted back to their original owners. And when you were basically selling it, you were leasing it. And the value of the lease would be dependent on how many years there were until the year of Jubilee. But if I'm going to loan to somebody, there was also collateral. They didn't have this, so there's the expectation that I'm going to get it back because I'm holding collateral. That was in the Mosaic Law as well. But I need to lend. He says, what's it say here in verse 35? You lend hoping for nothing again. And I don't do it very often. But if I lend somebody some money, in my mind, it's a gift. If I get paid back, oh, hey, wow, look at this, a windfall. I got paid back. Because I don't necessarily, I look back at hard times as a college student, hard times as a young couple. And the help given by parents and so on, and can I ever pay that back? Not really. And it was given not necessarily with the expectation of it being given back. Some of it was. But the expectation was not for it to be returned. And when we deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we deal with people in general, because we're talking about enemies, it's a gift. It's a gift. Don't expect it back. Lend as if it were a gift with no strings attached. Now, if you're in a business deal, go ahead and fill out the paperwork and so on, but be very careful when you consider whether or not you're going to sue. Is this going to hurt my testimony? Because that is the key thing. Is this going to help in my presentation of the gospel? Is if I'm going through this thing with a neighbor, if I'm going through this with an adversary, is this going to open a door of opportunity to share the gospel with them? Well, if we got open hostility, I'm going to say no. And we need to make sure that we are not hindering the work of God. He says, if you do these things, your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest. This is not the condition. This is not the condition. This is God's reward. It shall be great, surpassing anything that I may have lost. It'll be more than a return of what I have given. And it's beyond the here and now. Ye shall be children of the highest. I don't earn salvation. We have that very clear Old and New Testament. But it's rather my salvation is demonstrated. Am I living the part? I've shared this, that Greg has a mechanic, works for him, named Donnie. And Donnie came from a pretty rough background. Greg had known him for a number of years, was going to give him a chance. And he knew how to do some basic stuff. He could do brakes and a few things like that, but he's going to train him and teach him how to do some of the other things. And Donnie was a pretty quick learn. And Greg's sharing the gospel with him. And Donnie had known Greg long enough, so Donnie had seen the before and after in Greg's life as well. And Donnie was working there for about a year and a half or something like that. And then during the course of, this was not this past summer, but the summer before, so a little over a year ago, Donnie's life began to change. And he began to occasionally ask spiritual questions. But his life was changing. His demeanor changed. His work ethic improved. We're just observing these things. And Greg is saying, I don't know. Maybe something's going on. I'm not sure. And I said, well, ask him about this. Or, you know, and so we're sort of giving 100 deals. And so finally about 6 weeks go by and we're seeing this thing progress. I said, what? Just ask him, have you trusted Christ as Savior? And so Greg said, you know, I come back a couple days and Greg had asked, and said, yeah. Well, how long ago? About 6 weeks ago. We're on that fishing trip. We went out to Nia Bay. We went fishing and then we stayed out there and we went to that little church out there in Nia Bay. And it just, I heard the gospel and I stewed on it for a while and I trusted Christ. And that was manifested, that was demonstrated by this change of life that we had seen in that 6 weeks. And it's still going on. And so these things are a demonstration of new life in Christ. I don't earn salvation, I can't. And we'll talk about that in the morning service. But it's being demonstrated and it's being recognized by others. We saw something's happened to this guy. Something has happened. Ask him. We've been praying for his salvation. Now let's see if we can pray for his spiritual growth. But ask him. Let's find out. Because we serve not to become God's children. We serve as God's children. Because we have God's example there at the end of verse 35. He says, ye shall be children of the highest, like father, like son. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. All right. Here in Washington, I may have some people here in the morning service, depends on how far they got down the road. I got a phone call. This was Friday? I got a phone call Friday, saying, hey, this is Jim. Jim Morey, and we just got off the freeway. We're on Pioneer and I think 167 or 512, whatever it is. And how do we get to your house? And I'm like, oh! Well, and I gave him directions. I have known Jim Morey since I was 17. He was originally from my home church, and he's been attending my brother's church for the last 24 years. And so they're on a road trip, and they didn't tell, they had asked my brother, but and they said, don't tell Andy we're coming, because we're not sure. And so here they just popped in. And, now where was I going with this? when they're here in, and the rains are coming. And I told him, boy, if you really wanted to see things, you wanted to be here last month. Because then it's dry and everything's clear, because the little secret, that the locals here keep to themselves to some extent is that it's really fantastic here in the summer. And that this whole nonstop rain thing happens when the faucet comes on in the fall and doesn't turn off again until May. But, we appreciate, I'm enjoying the rain. Everything was brown, and now it's all green again. Yes. Clearing the air a little bit. And so, now, when it's been raining, let's say I'm a farmer, and I've been praying for rain. I'm a Christian. I've been praying for rain. The crops need rain. We haven't had rain for 6 weeks, and I'm praying for rain. But my neighbor over here doesn't know the Lord. Matter of fact, he's a scoffer. He mocks the things of God. But I'm praying for rain. When God sends the rain, is it just going to rain on my property? Is he going to get it too? If you look at your outline, we've got the verse there from Matthew 5:45, dealing with parallel passage. That you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. God is kind. God is merciful. God does good to the wicked as well as his children. And so as my heavenly Father is merciful, we are to be merciful. One of the commentators said this, that moral likeness proves parentage. My lifestyle, my kindness demonstrates that I'm a child of God. I have to live the part. And not just by showing up at church and so on, but my day to day. We're on 24/7. If God is my Father, I will behave as if he is my Father. Like father, like sons. And I am to follow my Heavenly Father's lead as far as his kindness and his mercy is concerned. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Father, thank you that you are kind, that you are gracious, that you are merciful. And Father, many of us can look back at our pre-salvation days and see how you over and over again spared us and provided and delivered us from difficult situations and even protected our lives. And so, Father, thank you. And Lord, as we look at the hostility, the growing hostility of the world around us, may we not act in kind. But Father, may we be kind. May we live as we are supposed to live, regardless of how the world responds. Regardless of what the world is saying about us, regardless of what the world is doing to us. Father, may we live the part. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.